Hello and welcome to Kane & Rince Sound of Play 5. Sound of Play, we bring you an eclectic fortnightly compilation mix of some of our favourite pieces from the many ornament vibrating video game soundtracks we've enjoyed over the years. My name's Leon Cox, and joining me in this Sound of Play, we have Carl Moon.
Hey guys.
He's out of Kane & Rince, and we have irregular Kane & Rince guest, Dan Clark.
Hello, pleased to meet you. Listeners.
Me too.
Not you.
Yes.
People that might not have heard Kane & Rince that listen to this for the music and stuff.
It's true, there may well be some. Not only was Sound of Play a number one in the UK iTunes Store video games podcast hit, but it was in the all podcasts of all kinds top 100 in Australia.
Wow.
I don't know how or why.
God bless the Australians.
Yes, but hello Oz. Right, so here we go. Music. Maestro, please, let's start with our guest who gets three picks because he's our guest. Dan Clark, what have you brought to the party?
First up, I'd like to hear the Kronos theme by Tim Follin. It's from the ZX Spectrum, and the game was published by Mastertronic back in 1987. Now, this was a £1.99 game. yeah. And did you ever play it?
No, sadly not.
It's a pretty decent 2D arcade sort of shoot 'em up. Mm. I mean, not much. It's on par with, say, the Gradius conversion or Nemesis conversion
right.
on Spectrum, which for $1.99 is a great little game as it stands. But then the music is just something else.
Right. Yeah. Tim Follin again.
So. Yeah. Now, what we would have heard a lot of chiptune wise from the Spectrum over the years is the 128K chip, the AY chip. But this uses the 48K beeper for most of the music.
Yeah.
It uses the AY chip. If you're playing it on 128, it adds some extra drum sounds. But other than that, what you hear is what you'd heard out of the 48K, which basically didn't have a sound chip as such. Yeah. All it could do was beep in various frequencies. Yet somehow he managed to get this to sound like, quote, real music.
If you want to hear what a Spectrum is supposed to sound like, basically do that thing where you hammer several keys on your keyboard at once and you'll get that beep. That's what a Spectrum is supposed to sound like. And also, if you make a noise like sucking a little bit of saliva between the tongue and the roof of your mouth, that's what most people are getting out of a Spectrum, a beep and a little scratchy noise.
And to be fair, this is a quite scratchy sounding song. Might sort not offend the ears, but you need to sort of look past what what it sounds like initially, I guess it's the best way to put it.
I wasn't aware of this track. Now we featured a Tim Follin track on Sound of Play 4 with guest Simon picking one of his pieces from the Bionic Commando conversion for Commodore 64, and we described him as a genius, and I think this just illustrates that, not only as a brilliant musician and composer, but as a technical genius. This shouldn't be possible.
Yeah, it's really not possible. It's one bit is, I suppose, because that's all it's got, really, isn't it? On and off, like.
Yeah, this is one channel. So you're
except it's not. He must be faking that somehow, because there are multiple channels on this. It's like a prog rock song.
It's virtual multiple channels. Yeah, it's like trying to read a brief history of time.
It clocks in around 2K as well, so you couldn't even type the word music into a text document and save it, and it'd be less than that, really. So astonishing little piece of music, and bow down to Tim Follin. This is the Kronos theme. We'll be right back.
Yeah, so as Dan said, that may have not been in some ways the easiest piece on the ears in terms of audio fidelity, but you have to think of the context and what that was produced on. And yeah, mind-blowing stuff. But yeah, a great piece of music regardless. Carl, your first time on Sound of Play, and I know you've been itching to share this one with us, another of the great 8 and 16-bit composers.
Yep. Anyone who knows me knows that I was probably likely to pick this as my selection, and it too is from 1987. It's from Chris Hulsbeck, from a game that some may accuse of riffing a little bit from Super Mario Brothers.
Just a tad, yes.
Called The Great Guiana Sisters, which was, it was a hugely selling game for Rainbow Arts, perhaps their most successful ever, and
But it was taken off the shelves within weeks, though.
Yeah, it was removed for very obvious reasons. And those of us who actually had access to it were quite happy playing it away on, you know, the Commodore 64, the Amiga, or the Atari ST. And I played it almost religiously on the Amiga. Now, I started playing the Amiga in 1988. I was 4 years old. And I remember this theme so fondly, just idling on the menu screen. And it stuck with me all the time. I mean, Chris Hulsbeck is just a master of this era. He's a fantastic composer, and this is my very favourite one of his tracks. Now, I actually used this theme as my ringtone for 2 years, and people would always look at me crazy, like I've got a broken phone or, you know, a really old handset. But it used to make me smile every time someone would ring. It's the main menu theme from The Great Guiana Sisters.
So I noticed that Great Guiana Sisters Twisted Dreams has just arrived on Xbox One in the store there just the other week. Now, I've played the PS3 version of that game, and overall I didn't love it. It's got some interesting ideas, and it is a genuine sequel. There was a DS game a few years ago that was also a sort of a playable-ish sequel. But the key thing about Twisted Dreams is, I think it's called Twisted Dreams, isn't it?
Yeah.
They did bring back Chris Hulsbeck on the music. So if nothing else, it's worth checking out for the soundtrack, because Chris Hulsbeck is the man. My first pick of this podcast is a bit of very... it's kind of standard, but very technically well-composed J-pop. Again, not the sort of thing that I would necessarily have on my own iPod in my own music collection, but I've been fond of this piece ever since it first appeared in its original form on Street Fighter Zero 2 or Street Fighter Alpha 2, depending on which region you're playing. And it's Sakura's theme. She was introduced in that game, I believe, and that still remains probably my favourite one-on-one fighting game of all time. I think Alpha 2 was just... they just nailed everything for me. I just got so into it, and it had so many So many cool things about it. So this was like an instrumental version. As such, there was an arranged version on the home PS1 and Saturn ports, of course. But it was when I got Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo there was this great mode, which sadly is missing from the PSP version, the HD downloadable versions, and the arcade version, called Street Puzzle Mode, which was a series of challenges where you could unlock various things. And one of the things you could unlock was the fully instrumentalized pop version with vocal of I Want You to Know, which is the name of the theme of Sakura. And it's by Setsuo Yamamoto and Shun Nishigaki from 1996. And yes, it's just silly, cheerful stuff. Want You to Know. I've seen a translation of the lyrics, and I think it's all about Sakura. She has this whole worship of Ryu thing going on. I think it's about that. I don't know if they released that as a single in Japan or whether it charted. I guess it didn't. Anyway, Magic Joe F. posted on our forum, which is the way to request tracks for Sound of Play, canerinse.com/forum. There's a special thread for requests. We tried to get through some in each Sound of Play. Obviously, we might skip about a bit. We might miss some. We might come back to some. But eventually, there's a good chance that your pick will get played. Magic Joe F wanted something from Fez. He says, although I loved all of the Fez soundtrack, in particular the track Sync really stuck with me. Playing in time with the appearing and disappearing in-game platforms, it was yet another way that Fez pulled me into its fantastic world. So I don't know too much. I do own this soundtrack, Disaster, by Disasterpiece, who is a.k.a. Rich Vreeland. Dan, are you a Fez man?
Yeah, I'm quite happy that this was picked as a community choice because I've been toying about with my choices for the past week. I've changed it about a dozen times and I kept putting things from the Fez soundtrack in and out. So, yeah, I was chuffed that this kind of like saved me a choice. I listen to it. I've got it on my iPad, on my phone, so I can listen to it any and everywhere and do. It's great for sort of, I don't know, say a train journey looking out over sort of like countryside and stuff. It's got that sort of plaintive feel to it, but in a ambient-y electronic way. I love it.
That's Hypnotic, that piece. It has a very obvious loop, and yeah, I get the train thing. Although I would want the countryside to be pixelated.
There are ways and means, my friend. Sorry.
Yeah, special glasses is what you mean.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, from the back of comics.
Yeah. Now here's a sort of left field choice.
Yeah, it's the pause menu music to the football game Striker. It's by Kevin Bruce. Now, this isn't even from the original version of the game. The Amiga version, I think, has its own music. Yeah. But it was converted to lots of other systems like SNES, Mega Drive, then it even went into the 32-bit era as well. Yeah. And it was... Would you call it 2.5D? I suppose it's like the... what was
it's
that?
Like Super Soccer on the SNES.
Yeah, it's that same kind of viewpoint. But I think... I don't think many people will have heard this, and it's quite an impressive piece for the Mega Drive. People might know that I'm quite a fan of Mega Drive music. Mm. And this just sounds different to other stuff. It's got a bit of a happy hardcore influence, I suppose, and a bit sort of housey, trancey, but it's very 90s. This is the pause menu music from Striker. You.
One thing strikes me about that, Dan, which is why is a pause menu theme 3 minutes long?
Maybe they expected people to pause it for a long time. I don't know. Maybe it was so especially complex. You had to be checking the manual, you know.
I had the Amiga version of Striker and the early Amiga version, and it was. I remember a Commodore user gave it a rave review of 94% or something. They'd obviously not worked out that actually you could always score the same goal from the same position in every single match.
Oh, like you couldn't in Sensible Soccer.
Yeah,
that slidey one.
Yeah, but that actually required a modicum of skill, whereas in Striker it was a case of trundling the ball to the edge of the area, pointing at where the D intersects the edge of the box, and then pointing at the other corner of the goal and hitting it from there.
Which, like one of those early FIFA sweet spots.
Yeah, very much so, very much so.
Just to, another point as to how obscure that track is, yeah. I tried searching for it to find it on YouTube, and Google says when you search for Striker music Mega Drive, it says, did you mean Strider music Mega Drive? So
well, you might well have done, because I mean, what a soundtrack that is.
But, oh, of course, yeah,
we can save that for a future Sound of Play. Something more modern now, much more modern, from the recently sacked or unamicably departed Destiny composer of Bungie, Martin O'Donnell. Carl, this is yours.
Yeah, if my first choice was from my first year of playing games, then my second choice is from this year. And surprisingly, I'm not going for a Matty O'Donnell track from the Halo series. I'm actually choosing The Union from Destiny. It's the track that actually plays in what you could class as the end boss theme, although anyone who's played it knows it's neither really the end or much of a boss. It comes in three stages. The Union's actually the third part of that boss battle. And it's a level that I've played many times. And every single time I've played it with friends, I always comment on how good the track is. It's actually the best part of that entire stage. And it just emotes so many cool elements. You know, there's bits that you listen to it. It sounds a bit Star Wars, a bit Indiana Jones, a bit Halo. And it's all just an amalgamation of goodness. It's called The Union. It's unfortunately not on the official soundtrack.
Oh.
It came at a period of time when the sort of the non-amicable split came between Marty, Activision, and Destiny. So the version, if you want to listen to it on YouTube anytime in the future outside of the podcast, is actually from his Video Games Live performance in 2014, I believe. And it's just an absolute humdinger of an end boss track.
disappointment, Carl, is the obvious one, that of course you didn't torture us with the frankly god-awful Paul McCartney offering from Destiny.
I was tempted. I was sorely tempted.
Is there anyone out there who actually likes that song? I mean, of course, it's completely a matter of taste, but I honestly think it's one of the worst songs I've ever heard.
I think it's one of the better of Paul McCartney's recent works, though. Yeah. Now, that's not to say I really like the song, but...
this is the good... I've managed to avoid most of Paul McCartney's recent output, you
see. It does have a kind of epic feel to it, though, doesn't it? It feels like a big song. I can see what... Sounds what the like appeal is for people
that
do like it.
The best part of it is that he never actually charged to do it. So there's always that. He wanted to get involved in making a song for a video game and how it's structured. So the team done it with Martin O'Donnell and he didn't actually get paid for it. So
they said, piss off, we're not paying for that.
Yeah, that's what I would have said. I literally wouldn't pay 69p for that on iTunes. Anyway, poor old Paul, bless him. If he's indeed the real Paul McCartney, that's for another podcast.
Or Pua.
Yeah, certainly not poor. It's worth a bob or two, as they say. My second pick is simply a case of me thinking, what tunes do I like from video games? And coming up with one from the terrific SNES soundtrack to Super Castlevania IV from 1991, or 1992 in Europe, for the slow version. Yeah. Masanori Adachi and Taro Kudo both worked on the soundtrack for this game. I am afraid I do not know who wrote which tracks or whether they collaborated on this track. I love this track simply because it's got a killer bass line and it's ridiculously atmospheric. It's actually sort of quite a lot pacier than the speed at which your avatar moves in this particular Castlevania. It's still a great game. I have it on Wii U Virtual Console. It's probably worth downloading that particular SNES ROM just for the soundtrack, although of course you can seek that out for no money. But it's a great entry into the Castlevania series before it went Metroid-y with a map and RPG elements and all that, and groove on. Thank you. Anyway, Alex79UK requested a piece by Clint Mansell and Sam Hulick. He says, my favourite piece of music in a video game is An End Once and For All from Mass Effect 3. It just summed up the entire trilogy for me and the emotions I felt as the game drew to its conclusion. Couldn't have been scored more perfectly. Yeah, I suppose there's something appropriate about it because it starts with this slow somber piece and ends as a complete
mess.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was trying to get at. yeah, no, actually, I do like this piece, and I did like a lot of the music from that game, and I did like a lot of things about it. I was just, as I think many were, sorely disappointed in it as a conclusion to the trilogy. But yes, we can't deny its technical or musical accomplishments, and so here's to celebrate that bloke out of Pop Will Eat Itself and Sam Hulick, who I don't know. With An End Once and For All.
Thank you.
right. An end once and for all, except it isn't, because Dan, he's our guest, he gets three picks. And his concluding pick is...
It's Pain Fade Down from the game Darwinia by Trash80. Now, I occasionally DJ out here and there at parties and nights and stuff. And I always try and sneak in at least one track from a video game. Like 2 days ago, I played a track from Guacamelee because they wanted like a gypsy folk set, and it really fitted that well.
Did it go down well?
Yeah, yeah. Like a whole room full of people dancing to it. It's always quite fun to like, yeah, exactly, to sit there and stroke my beard and go. and then when I'm doing a sort of more electronica based set, I've used this song a fair few times. Again, it goes down well. It's quite slow and down tempo, but it's a real it's just a chilled out electronica track. Washes over nicely, but I think for the time, for 2005, it's got it sounds a lot like electronic music has got in sort of recent years, which I didn't realise quite how old it was. I was remembering Darwinia as being sort of closer to where we are now. So
well, yeah, the 360 version came out probably 2008 or something.
Yeah, it was a bit later. PC,
yeah. Yeah, it's one of those, one of the many games I've got in my Xbox Live Arcade list that is downloaded because it was it received lots of excellent reviews, but I've barely scraped the surface of it. It looks really cool though. Looks like a cool, it's sort of RTS, isn't it? With sort of abstract inside a computer kind of thing going on.
Yeah, I've always loved the look and the sound of it. But a bit like yourself, I've given it a go, but I just got a bit daunted by the sort of oddness of it. You know, it seems to have sort of like layer upon layer of depth, and it was like, do I really want to touch this right now? But the music has been on my iTunes for ever and ever. So this is Pain Fade Down from Darwinia.
All right, before we hear from the mysterious Trash 80, it just remains for me, Leon Cox, to thank Carl and Dan. And to remind you that, as you've heard, it's not just about what we like. So if you venture over to our forum at canerinse.com, you can request your favourites, and we'll include a selection of those in the playlist for each show. So until Sound of Play 6, here from Darwinia is Pain Fade Down.